The book of James was written by the brother of the Lord, James, the brother of the Lord, and is considered to be a very practical book, as it speaks like the book of Proverbs to a Christian man, Christian woman, as to how to live your life in this world. In the midst of challenges, in the midst of difficulties, there is wisdom that we find in this book as to how we go about living out our faith. James, in the early verses of this book, chapter 1, 2, coming along, he speaks of the faith of the believer. And wants us to understand that there can be no faith if we don't produce deeds that are according to the faith. He's the one who stated quite early that faith without work is dead. In other words, the theme for that book would be faith, or real faith, produces deeds. Deeds that are aligned with the faith of a believer. And so, we find practical examples in the Epistle of James as to how we live a godly life in challenging times. In times of adversity, in times when it looks so gloomy and as if everything is coming to an end. But we find wisdom in this book. James chapter 3 and verse 13 says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. If any man, if you consider yourself to be wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. In James chapter 3, and chapter 4, I'll be looking on some verses in chapter 4 too. But it speaks much about faith, that when expressed, it does not explode. When faith is expressed, it does not explode. James, who had earlier, after writing to the, this book was written to the 12 tribes that were scattered across the face of the earth. James was the one who called out the individual who professed to be a person of faith. And James said, you cannot have faith and don't produce good deeds. He said, even the devil believe that God is one and tremble in terror. That's his reaction for believing that God is one. He calls out that individual and he said, if you have faith and no works, something is wrong, no deeds. He said, faith without works or deeds is dead. It's not faith. He said, if you ask me, I can show you my deeds that will tell you or confess to you or prove to you the faith I have. And so, in a similar fashion, James said, if you are wise. Now, brothers and sisters, James was writing to the church, believers like you and I. He said, if you are wise and understand God's ways. It's as if we're in an auditorium together or at the church together. And James says, any among you, any is there anybody here that's wise and you understand God's ways? And a few folks might be brave enough to raise their hands and say, yes, Brother James, we're wise. We think we understand the ways of God. We have been here for 15, 20 years. We've seen quite a, we've gained a lot of experience, so we think we understand. James said, step out here. Perhaps such a person may be thinking now, James is going to ask them to exegete some text. Can you speak clearly about the oneness of God? Prove to me the deity of Christ from the text. And such persons will probably beginning in Genesis speak so much from Isaiah coming over into John and explain with all clarity that Jesus is God and that he was the Word in the beginning. By him all things were made. Great is the mystery of godliness. And they prove. But James says, instead of asking that question, James said, if you are convinced that you're wise and understand God's ways, don't explain it to me. Live it. Prove it by living an honorable life. By doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. That's what James is saying. I don't want you to exegete a text. I don't want you to tell me so much about your church experience and what you know about the Lord. James says, prove it by your lifestyle. Let me see how you live. It will explain everything to me if you have the wisdom that comes from God. If you understand God's ways. He said, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Not pretense. Not good works so that men can see and give you praises. But good works that is produced by the humility that comes from the wisdom of God. It means such good works must come from a person who has a relationship with God. Now, what is this wisdom that James is talking about? Let's look at James chapter 1. And James said to the believers, if you need wisdom, James 1 and verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Brothers and sisters, here is a powerful text. This is one thing that we can ask of God that he will not say no. He will not refuse to give us if we ask. He said God is generous and he will give it to us. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I know we have often quoted this text and there's a principle behind it. Yes, I understand. But we fail to recognize that the reason why James quoted this or shared this, why he wrote it in his epistle, it was concerning the wisdom that comes from God. And some of us, we don't have it because we simply believe that perhaps our educational ability has given us the wisdom of God. We are well read. So we have wisdom. But this wisdom that James is talking about comes directly from God. We cannot receive it from philosophers. Doesn't matter how much the world will promote some of these philosophers. James said this wisdom comes from God. And if you ask, you can receive, but you got to trust him and him alone. Not books written by men. Not the educational facilities. This is a different kind of a wisdom. This is not just knowledge, brothers. This is the wisdom that comes from God. This is a wisdom that comes with humility. He says, ask him. Most of us, when we remember this text and we want to put it in practice, we think about things. So we're asking God for something. We're not going to waver because we want that house. How about the wisdom? He said, don't be divided. Don't waver. For a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So here James gives us another, one way we can look on our own lives. Are we moving to and fro like the waves of the sea? It means perhaps our loyalty is divided and we need the wisdom of God. Where does this wisdom come from? Let's look at Job. Book of Job, chapter 28. But do people, Job chapter 28 and verse 12. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it is not found among the living. It is not here, says the ocean, nor is it here, says the sea. It cannot be bought with gold. It cannot be purchased with silver. It is worth more than all the gold of Ophir, greater than precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Wisdom is more valuable than gold and crystal. Hello? Do we understand by these scripture how humble we ought to be in the presence of God? Wisdom, it cannot be purchased with jewels mounted in fine gold. Coral and jasper are worthless in trying to get it. The price of wisdom is far above rubies. Precious peridot from Ethiopia cannot be exchanged for it. It's worth more than the purest gold, wisdom. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all humanity. Even the sharp-eyed birds in the sky cannot discover it. Destruction and death say, we have heard only rumors of where wisdom can be found. Job concludes, God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found. For he looks throughout the whole earth and sees everything under the heavens. He decided how hard the wind should blow and how much rain should fall. He made the laws for the rain and laid out a path for the lightning. Then he saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what he says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Brothers and sisters, that's what the whole universe searches for wisdom and cannot tell where it is. But the Lord says, this is true wisdom. The fear of the Lord. That's where wisdom can be found. And to forsake evil is real understanding. James chapter 1 and verse 17, I believe. He says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Proverbs 2 and verse 6 tells us, for the Lord grants wisdom. It comes from God. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He alone has this wisdom, brothers and sisters. Isaiah 11 verse 2 tells us, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That is the kind of wisdom that we need. But it comes from humility. Fear of the Lord. To reverence him. To know that he is the final authority. All things were made by him. And without him, there was nothing made that was made. And all creation was prepared for his own pleasure. So James writes to the believers, he said, but if you are bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. That's carnal. This kind of wisdom comes from the Lord. Him there's no shadow of turning. The Father of lights. James said, such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Brothers and sisters, that's James chapter 3 and verse 15 and going down to 16. 15 says, the jealousy and the selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. So when the spirit of jealousy shows up as a deed in a Christian life, brothers and sisters, James is not writing to unsaved or to the world, trying to convince them to become Christians. He's writing and challenging Christians who are living in difficult times where their deeds are not matching up to their faith. He said, jealousy, selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly. It did not come from above. Told you every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. When you see jealousy, when you see selfishness, boasting and lying, it is not from above. That means it's not wisdom. It's not the wisdom of God. He says earthly, unspiritual, carnal, and demonic. Brothers and sisters, we have to check ourselves at times. Because when we respond in this kind of an attitude, we're influenced by demons. That's what James is saying. This is a strong language. He said, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Brothers and sisters, you can make a list of all the evil you know in this world. James said, where the wisdom of God is not ruling the life of a believer, you will find jealousy, selfishness, selfish ambition in your heart, and boasting and lying, which are demonic influences. And said, if these things are promoted, if these things are what we are producing, there you will find every kind of evil. And you will find disorder. Sometimes we don't see the order manifested in the church. It's because we don't have the wisdom of God governing our lives. We boast. We say we are wise and that we understand God's ways. James said, don't boast about understanding God's ways or that you have the wisdom from above. Prove to me by the way you live. Tell somebody, lifestyle matters. The life of a Christian is what tells us we are Christian. Jesus said to his disciples, then will men know that you are my disciples. Not when you tell them I am the Christ. Not when you tell them that I died for their sins. Not when you tell them that you're an apostolic tongue-talking holy roller, born-again believer in the liberated power of Jesus' name. No, but when we love one another. He said, the wisdom from above is first of all pure. Purity has to be pure. It's coming from the Father of lights. In him, there's no shadow of turning. He said, it's also peace loving. That's the wisdom from above. It's peaceful. Loving. Gentle at all times. And willing to yield to others. We have some folks with some attitudes. They always have to be the winner. Competitive in nature. And they're full with debates, arguments, promote the philosophy of men and the wisdom that comes from above. They have to prove how brilliant they are. They like to always have others yielding to them. But James said, pure wisdom that comes from above. It's peace loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy. folks, don't exercise mercy, and they will tell you how much of a Christian they are. When you have the wisdom of God, you're full of mercy, for you have the very nature of God living inside of you. And the fruit of good deeds, it shows no favoritism and is always sincere. James said, those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Goes on right into the 12 tribes scattered across the diaspora, encouraging them that the faith of a believer, that when it's expressed, when it's lived out, should not explode. So in James chapter 4 and verse 1, he asks a question: what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? That's a difficulty sometimes in the assemblies: quarrels, fights. Some given to the flesh, some living by the Spirit. Sometimes becomes chaotic. But James tells us that the quarrels and the fights that we see amongst us, he said, they come from the evil desires at war within you. Tell somebody there's a war in our members. You want to do good, and there's a war. You don't find yourself doing good. James writes and he said, you want what you don't have. It's kind of a different war. There's a desire on the inside for something that you don't possess. So you scheme and kill to get it. Brothers and sisters, James was not writing to unbelievers. So you scheme and kill to get it. Because the wisdom of God does not govern our life. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. You ever see some folks, they're just jealous. God anoints somebody. God just bless somebody. God just use somebody, and they're jealous of that person. And the person who God is using has no choice. God just blessed them. And the next man is jealous. Why? Because there's an evil desire on the inside. It's not governed by the Lord. He said, you are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet, and this is a good learning lesson for all of us. He said, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. It tells us it doesn't matter how much you act out the jealousy. It doesn't matter how much you fight, you scheme to kill, you won't get it. And you don't get it, you don't have it, what you want, because you don't ask God for it. You never ask. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. So we don't have to be so confused sometimes when we pray about certain things and we don't get it. Sometimes we have to go back and check the motive. You want only what will give you pleasure. That's not the spirit of a kingdom citizen. A kingdom citizen, his will or her will is bent towards the king. They have no desire of their own. All they want, what they want to do is to please the king. That's why Paul, when the Lord visited him on Damascus Road, when he was going down to Damascus, the bright line shone from heaven. And the voice spoke, hit him off that donkey. Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord? And what will thou have me to do?" That was the next response. What will thou have me to do? Not what I'm desirous. He just left Jerusalem with letters in his hand. He told them the desire he had. And the high priest and the Sanhedrin council gave him the authority, sanctioned his desire, and said, "Go ahead, brother Paul. We're in line with your desire." But when he met God, he never told God anything about his desire. He said, "What will you have me to do?" That's the spirit of humility that God is attracted to. He gives grace to the humble. James now said, "You adulterers." And now, this language now is not necessarily, it's not speaking about sexual immorality, but it's the language that we find in the prophetic literature, which speaks now of the church or Israel then in the prophetic literature being the bride of God, and now the church being the bride of Christ. It speaks now of a divided loyalty. He said, "Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God?" We are only friends of the world when we are lacking as it relates to the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Said, "I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world," strong language. Do you have a desire to be a friend of the world? James says, you make yourself an enemy of God. In other words, there's a dividing line. You're a friend of God. But if you choose to be a friend of the world and you step over the line, immediately you become an enemy of God. Sometimes, right in the midst of assemblies and great churches, there are enemies of God sitting down there. That's why the Lord, in speaking about the end time, he said, "A brother shall deliver a brother up to death." Right in the house, enemies of God seated in the midst of the congregation because they are friends of the world. They are no opponents of God. He said, "Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. He's a jealous God." We can understand why he's jealous, because he created everything. We don't have a right to be jealous. But everything belongs to God. Even the breath that we breathe in and out of our body belongs to God. He told us that our body is the temple of the living God. He gives grace generously, as the scripture says. God gives grace generously. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He's against the proud. Pride stands in opposition to God. The first time he sends his pride in the heavenly realm, being was cast down from heaven down to this earth. He said, Satan, Lucifer, you can't stand in my presence. And he was cast down out of heaven. Why? Because he lifted up his soul in pride. But to the humble, those who are drawn to him in humility, he said he gives grace. Lift your hands and thank the Lord. He said, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me humility. Lord Jesus, give me a will that's surrendered to you. Hallelujah. Help me, God Almighty, to that when I exercise my faith, when I live out my faith, I don't burst out. Outbursts of anger, jealousy. James says, humble yourselves before God. And that's one of the key elements of a Christian or attribute of a Christian man or woman, the spirit of humility. It must govern our lives. It must govern the assembly. James said, don't you act out these carnal deeds, waging war, jealous of others. You're fighting and waging war to take things away from others that you don't have. Jealous, proud, boasters, liars, quarrels and fights. James says, humble yourselves. Humble. Let's humble ourselves before God. Resist the devil. Because that kind of a deed is being produced by the influence of the devil on our minds and spirit. It is not the wisdom that comes from above. For the wisdom that comes from the above is peaceful, gentle, loving. He said, resist that devil, the opposer. And he will flee from you. Don't entertain the devil. Oh, God Almighty. Hallelujah. Sometimes in resisting the devil, we have to resist. We have to stop others in their track that are being used by the devil to sow into our spirit things that will compromise our spirit. We have to speak back. Hallelujah. 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 Aba kandara bohoshaya. Atamasinda yabakotasha. Makonda shaya. We have to learn to keep ourselves pure, my God Almighty, because if the spirit of wisdom dwells in us, my God Almighty, it means that we have a connection with the one that's above, the one who lives in us, the one who takes control of our lives. Spirit of wisdom. That's why when Jesus was here on the earth, he was careful when to speak and when not to speak. He was careful when to act in certain manner and when not to act. That when they look on him, they say, never a man spake like this. Not because of the knowledge of this world. Not because he was learned or sat at the feet of some great Pharisee. Or doctors of the law? No, because he was given, God Almighty, the spirit of wisdom, my God Almighty, an understanding that was resting on him. That when he spoke, my God, they marvel at the words that came from his lips. Even at 12 years old, speaking to the doctors of the law, they marveled. Knowing that he was the carpenter's son and at such a tender age to be reasoning like this above the doctors and the law, And the scribes, my God, and the Pharisees could not understand. He spake as one having authority and not like the scribes. Why? Because the spirit of wisdom. Oh, God Almighty. Hallelujah. What we need is a baptism of humility. My God Almighty, in the church. My God, we need, hallelujah, to be immersed in the spirit of wisdom. My God Almighty, we're immersed in humility and let it govern our lives. Hallelujah. He said, humble yourselves before God. Hallelujah. Don't you know that the Lord seeth the proud afar off? He keeps them away from himself. But he gives grace to the humble. He never said, my God Almighty, gives grace to the man who is puffed up. No. It's a man who knows how much of a sinner he is, and that without God, he's nothing, thinks nothing of himself. Such a man comes with his head and his knees bowed before the presence of the Lord and is in need of mercy. Oh God, I see my sins before me night and day, my God Almighty. But with you dwells mercy. With you there's forgiveness. So I come to you. You are my only source. I can't waver and believe that there's any hope in this world, my God Almighty. My faith is in you. You are the object of my faith, my God Almighty. Stretch out your hands and show me your grace. God cannot refuse such a man. Of a broken and a contrite heart, he said he will not despise. Come close to God. What a beautiful thing. Come close to him, and God will come close to you. Oh my God Almighty. All we need to do is make a step. A step in humility. One step. And every step you make in humility, God is making a step, two steps to you. Come close, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Oh, God Almighty. You preach like this in the church. My God Almighty, some folks become so offended. James wrote to these churches, and he's still writing to us this very day. He said, wash your hands, you sinners. He's not talking to sinners in the world. He's talking to folks who are not humble before the presence of the Lord. He said, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. How can a sinner loyalty be divided between God and the world? A man who is in the world is in the world. But he's talking about somebody who has knowledge of God, who has come to know God, but now has a divided heart. Wash your hands, but your hands not clean. Who shall ascend in the holy hills, Lord? He that had a clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands. He said, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart. That's what the psalmist said. He that had a clean hands and a pure heart. He said, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let there be tears for what you have done. Must mourn over our sins. We want to glance over our sins and just pretend as if everything is all right. James said, you got to have some tears. I see folks sometimes, you talk to them, you tell them certain things, my God, and you try to counsel and try to lead them in certain areas. And they tell you, okay, I've repented. And that's all they say. They just tell you they have repented and you see no fruit. John said, why you come to me to baptize you? That's what he said to the Pharisees. Most of us would be glad we see a whole stream of people coming down for baptism. John the Baptist looked and said, who be with you? He said, go back. He looked on them. He said, generation of vipers. Who would be with you? Who warned you? To flee from the wrath that is coming. He said, I'm not baptizing. You make sure you go back and you produce fruits of repentance. You don't hit the pool until you show some fruits of repentance. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Some folks, you see them in the church and they commit certain sins and you counsel them, you talk to them, and they want to come and operate and do everything as usual. No repentance, no fruit. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Mourn for the sins that you have committed. My God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some folks, my God Almighty, are just so hooked on having a church service. You put a boxing man around the piano just to play so you can have a good sermon. My God Almighty, and you know the sins that have been committed. He said, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. What a beautiful statement. With humility, my God, there comes a lifting up of that man who is humble. My God Almighty, the word look down on you as a weakling and somebody who is going nowhere. But when you're humbling your spirit, the Lord said, my God, I will lift you up. I will exalt you in due season. I will grant to you honor. Hallelujah. God's calling the church, my God Almighty, to a place of humility. We gotten too proud. Boasters, high-minded, my God Almighty, hallelujah. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Cold. My God, there need to be a tear, my God, that's left at the altar. Shamakosaya. Hallelujah. To you and you alone, God, I've seen my wretchedness. I've seen we are fallen, my God Almighty. I've seen we have erred against you, my God, like David. Against you and you alone have I sinned and committed this great deed, my God Almighty. Wash me. Purify me, purge me, my God Almighty, that I may be clean. Hallelujah. Blot out my transgression. Hallelujah. Leave a tear at the altar. My God Almighty, sometimes we draw near with our lips, but our hearts are far from God. He said, rent your heart and not your garment. Hallelujah. We act out for others to see, my God. But let us understand, when we come before him, it's the piercing eyes of Jesus that's looking on the inside. He told, my God, the prophet, my God Almighty, hallelujah, don't you look on the outward appearance. That's not what I look on. If you're going to operate in my ministry, you got to see the way I see. Don't you look, my God Almighty, on the outward appearance. I look on the heart. Hallelujah. There's got to be one more boy. Hallelujah. Ask the father, Jesse, if there's another one that's amongst these brothers, these brethren. My God Almighty, is there another? Hallelujah. When he found out, my God, there's another, then God began to speak. That's the man I'm choosing. Hallelujah. The one who doesn't have the wisdom like these brothers is the one who is on the backside of the desert taking care of sheep. He said, I'm training him in my wisdom that comes from above. That's the one that will govern my people. Hallelujah. That's why the prophet rejoiced. And he said, his scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. He's coming through. That little boy right there, bring him come. I'm going to anoint him to be king over my people. My God Almighty. Hallelujah. For I'm going to sit up on his throne. My God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My kingdom will have no end. Hallelujah. When the prophet lift the veil, my God, of the vase, my God Almighty, to pour that oil, the oil begin to pour. The wisdom from above, my God Almighty. We gotten too carnal. We want to study books and we want to do all sort of stuff. And every man knows how things should operate within the church, my God. But there's a wisdom that comes from above. Shandakosai. Every man needs to have it. Not just leaders in the church, but every person who is a part of the fellowship, God, in the body of Christ, needs to have the wisdom of Christ. And as James said, any man who asks for it, God will not rebuke us. He will give it to us, brothers and sisters. The wisdom of God is available to any man who requests it from God. If you desire to have the wisdom of God, you can have it. You can have it. Lord, when we humble ourselves, He will lift us up in honor. Jesus, Your name so great. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands and wave them in the presence of the Lord. Lift them and wave them in the presence of the Lord. Mama.